Wasn't that fun? That was fun. I don't know who came up with this idea, but it's a simple idea, powerful idea. And obviously it's changing. It's changing the world, really. And unfortunately, we don't get a chance to see that end. But I bet you, if you went to the store and you bought some gifts, it would change your life. Because that pizza you had the other night, or that dinner that you had at that fast food restaurant for 20 or 30 bucks, you could do the same thing at Five Below or all of these stores, and you could get some things that would change some kids' lives. And your heart would be blessed by doing that. So this is the last week, right? What day is today? Okay. So we're moving ahead. Kids, you're dismissed. We heard Miles amen in the singing this morning. Kids musical, you can tell. I felt like I was in an African American church. Kids amen in the music. Amen. Open your Bibles to the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel, where's that? Old Testament. Ezekiel. If you've gone to the book of Daniel, you've gone too far. Millions of dollars each year are spent on advertising slogans and jingles. Who can tell me what franchise has this slogan? You deserve a break today. Very good. Have it your way. Very good. Where's the beef? You're not going to get this one. Texas stop sign. A Texas stop sign. No. Dairy Queen. A Texas stop sign. Dairy Queen. And, of course, I'm thinking Arby's. Maybe you haven't heard of that or thought of that. But this morning I'd like to focus on a particular person and a particular command that will be found in Ezekiel chapter 3. So the person I'm going to look at is the person by the name of Ezekiel. The command he was given was to eat a roll. To eat a roll. Not a ho-ho. A roll. Like a Costanza roll. No, not a roll. A biblical roll, like a scroll. The passage, as I said, will be found in Ezekiel chapter 3. I'm going to read four verses, make a comment. The title of my message this morning is Feasting on the Word. Feasting on the Word. Ezekiel 3, verse 1. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, eat that thou findest. Eat this roll, and go speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. And he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. And he said unto me, Son of man, go, get thee unto the house of Israel, and speak with my words unto them. In our society, to eat one's words is generally a negative and an unpleasant experience, but in biblical thought, it's an agreeable experience. The message was given by God, but was to be assimilated by the prophet and made his own. Here's God's point. His word needs to be digested and consumed, not just nibble, scarf it up, pig out, chow down. There used to be a Lipton ad, tea, that portrayed a bold and feasty image. The punchline was, "This ain't no sippin' tea." Well, this ain't no sippin' book. The Bible is not finger food. You got to chew on its message. So let's pray. Lord, we come before you asking, again, as we focus on our theme this year, the essential and enduring word. Here's another example of a lifelong principle that a follower of Christ needs to consider each and every day. Help us, I pray, not to focus on your word as fast food, not to use it as fluff, but to consider it, Lord, as our daily bread. For those in our world that don't have a copy, that don't have one verse, I pray, Lord, that you would send laborers, that they might receive the gospel of Christ, even as shoeboxes, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Ezekiel chapter 3. So as we look at this particular passage, this particular person, this particular individual is only mentioned in this particular book with his name on it. His name means God strengthens, or God will strengthen Ezekiel. He was the son of Buzzai. Could you imagine your dad being named Buzzai? Well, in Geneseo, when I went to school there, there's a place called Buzzos. It was a guitar place. Anyway, Buzzai was the priest of the Zadok family, and Ezekiel was a priest himself. He began his ministry when he was about 30 years of age. He prophesied for about 20 years. So that was the length of his ministry. He was taken captive to Babylon with the king Jehoiakim in the 8th year of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. When he was deported, he settled by the river Kibar, or Chebar, where most of the captives of Israel were located with that particular exodus. He was married. He had his own home. And God intended Ezekiel to be a sign to the nation of Israel in the experiences of his life and in his ministry. Let's focus on Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 1. "Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, eat that thou findest, eat this roll." I'd like you to consider the roll being a scroll. It's not a Costanza roll. In Rochester, it's Marticello's. In Buffalo, it's Costanza. Have you ever eaten Marticello's? You know what I'm talking about, Ty? Yeah? All right, I got an amen back there. "And go speak unto the house of Israel." So first we have in chapter 3, verse 1, we have a command. One, eat what you find. Let's pause. You've heard it said, open the book, wherever it opens, start there, it's all good. Some pastor will say, open the Bible to any passage. Where do we go? Anywhere. It's all good. So, eat what you find. Wherever you are in the scriptures, eat what you find. Then he says, eat this roll. So there's a general application. I wonder where I should read. If you have a reading plan, read where you left off yesterday. If you don't have a reading plan, start somewhere. Well, should I start in the middle of the book of Revelation? Probably not. Probably not. Why don't you start in the beginning of a chapter? Well, which chapter? Which book? Pick one. Well, I don't know. Well, ask somebody. Start in Psalms. Start in the book of John. Start somewhere. Then eat this roll. So in while you're in the book of Ezekiel, what a way to end the year, the book of Ezekiel. But it's a great way to end the year. Then eat this particular thing for today. Study, ingest, meditate, and then it says, and go. Eat and go. Not like testing. Good. So it's time in order to go to get. So get in order to go. So God says progressively, chronologically, systematically, eat what you find, eat this scroll, and go and then speak unto the house of Israel. Speak unto the house of Israel. Then we see, well, what did Ezekiel do with that command? Verse 2. He obeyed. So I opened my mouth. Good idea if it's not a sippy cup. You have to open your mouth, right? He caused me to eat that roll. So if you don't open your mouth, if you don't show God your willingness or desire or availability in any way, shape, or form to have the Word of God become part of your life that day, He won't cause you to eat it. Verse 3. And He said unto me, Son of Man. I think He uses that phrase 49 times in this book to remind Ezekiel who he was and who we are. We are just men and women. Yes? Yes. Son of man, cause thy belly to eat. I don't know about you, but my food doesn't begin there. Does yours? No. As far as I remember, biology class, it starts in the mouth. Saliva. We don't have to get into all the gory details. But in order to get the digestive juices running, sometimes even people start drooling when they start smelling. Isn't that right? Come on, fresh baked bread. You're like a bee going to honey. So we don't start feeding in the belly. We start, starts here. Cause thy belly to eat. So we're already moving. We're progressing. Begins in the mouth, spiritually. Cause thy belly to eat and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. The spiritual applications are enormous. I think they're very obvious. So the command is, cause thy belly to eat and fill thy belly with this roll that I give thee. What does Ezekiel do? He obeys again. Then did I eat, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 10. Revelation chapter 10. So there's a progression here. Some people might say, oh, I just want you to taste the soup. And you got the big old pot on the stove. You're stirring. Cindy just calls me the stirrer. Wherever I am, I'm stirring. If you're making gravy, I'm stirring. If you're making sauce, I'm stirring. Soup, I'm stirring. So I grab a tablespoon, stir it all up, take a little tup off the top. That's not filling my belly. That's just teasing me, right? Oh, your wife says, oh, why don't you taste my homemade frosting? Why tease me? Give me the whole stinking cupcake. Cover it all up and, yeah. Fill thy belly. I mean, don't just sip a tablespoon. That's not helpful. Revelation chapter 10, start in verse 8. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel, which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. Verse 4, Ezekiel chapter 3, let's go back there. Ezekiel 3, verse 4, and he said unto me, son of man, go, get thee unto the house of Israel and speak with my words unto them. So again, we see a pattern. God is going to command, and he said unto me, and then he again identifies Ezekiel, son of man, and now he's going to give him three commands. One, go. Two, get thee unto the house of Israel. And three, speak with my words unto them. Let me give you a simple principle. Principle number one for today. God commands, we obey. Simple? Simple. In teen class, we looked at what is the conscience? We talked about that for an hour. Where'd it come from? Can we see it? Can we measure it? I mean, if you ask the doctor to do some kind of a test, can we find it? Is there an organ called the conscience? No. But we know it exists. Well, how do we know it exists? So we went through that entire scenario of what, where did it come from? Who put it there? How do you describe it? What does God's word say about it? And when God commands and we do not obey, then hopefully, surely, that automatic, factory-equipped faith organ in our life, the conscience, immediately goes, ding, 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 ding. Something's wrong here. God commands, we obey. When God speaks, it is our duty to listen and to respond. I've said this maybe 100 times. To delay to obey is what, class? Disobedience. To delay to obey is to disobey. Oh, I'll do it tomorrow. No. You don't get away with that with your parents. So the fruit of obedience is blessing. And the fruit of obedience is the revealed will of God for God's plan for you. So Ezekiel came to know the will of God because of his willingness to humble himself to God. Principle number two. God expects all of his followers to read and to ingest and to assimilate the word of God into our being. Let me say that again. God expects all of his followers to read and to ingest and to assimilate the word of God into our being. The picture is a symbol. The book of Ezekiel here is full of metaphors, full of illustrations, full of symbolic language. Ezekiel eating of a scroll was meant to illustrate a spiritual exercise that all of us should be engaged in. If we are to declare God's truth with meaning and power, we must take time to let God's word fill our hearts. True? We need to feel the implications of what God has said. We are to let his word become a vital part of us so that we can't talk about it glibly as uninvolved, detached students, but as those who have personally tasted it. You can see all the Operation Christmas Child videos you want. But unless you've been there and experienced in another culture, I say that in another culture because whenever I'm in another culture, whether it's in Spanish class, or if I'm in the part of the city I'm not aware of, there's something about my spirit, my being, that's challenged, that's uncomfortable. I'm not used to this. And if we're not used to a place or a set of circumstances or a group of people, all of our emotions, all of our senses are heightened. We have to pay attention more. If you're in a place where you're completely lost, you pay attention more as opposed to going to a place that you go to every single day. You don't even know the names. You know the names of the streets, but you don't look anymore because you're so used to it. But if you're in a neighborhood that you've never been before and you have to get out, you pay attention to the names, to the numbers, to the landscape. You want to have visual cues to help you navigate where you are. If you're in a different culture, you're paying attention at 110%. And you're being bombarded with sensory overload. Does that ever happen when you read God's word? That you're bombarded with sensory overload? Not often. But does it ever happen? I understand the word of God can be like oatmeal. But oatmeal every day still lets you live another day. Amen? Boy, I hope I don't get oatmeal again. Maybe you were raised on bologna sandwiches for lunch. I don't know what you were raised on. But you say, oh, I wish I had something else. You still survived on bologna sandwiches, right? Yeah. It could be better. It could be different. God wants us to eat that scroll. Not just taste it, not just dip it, ingest it. Ingest it to assimilate it. If you remember your biology class, you went through the Krebs cycle, you went through digestion, you went through all of those juices and enzymes and all that stuff and how food actually becomes part of us. How does that happen? How does cow eating green grass make white milk? It's a great question. A kid asks, how does that happen? Through assimilation. The food gets turned into other stuff. How does our food get turned into energy? Through assimilation. We digest it. And so the biological symbol is good spiritually, right? But it's not going to help you if you rub your bologna on your skin. For that matter, liverwurst. That would be horrible. Just think of that. What are you doing? Oh, I'm rubbing liverwurst on my arm. Why? I'm hungry. Yeah, that's not hand lotion. It goes in your mouth, silly. I'm under the word. I'm under the word. Yeah. Turn with me to 1 Timothy 4. 1 Timothy 4. We have funny ideas, don't we? 1 Timothy 4. Paul is writing to his protege, to his disciple, to his son in the Lord, Timothy. 1 Timothy 4:15, he says, meditate upon these things. If there was a period there, that'd be enough. There's more explanation. Give thyself wholly, completely, entirely, unreservedly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Again, you might be the biblical encyclopedia. You might be the walking Google reference person where you've got it all. It's all there, categorized, memorized. And there are people like that. People that can memorize the entire New Testament or entire books of the Bible. And that's fine. That's wonderful. But if you don't live it, 1 Corinthians 13 basically says you are a clanging cymbal. You are just noise. You're just noise. You claim to be this, but you are this. Colossians 3:16, not very far away. And these are just very few passages that we could look at regarding feasting on the word. Colossians 3:16. You're very familiar with the passage. Let the word of Christ dwell in you. How does the word of Christ dwell in you? Well, if we're Christians, if we're saved, if we're born again, if we've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, the word of God, meaning the Spirit of God, indwells us as Christians. So let the word of God, the Spirit of God, dwell in you in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. That means you could and should be taught first, primarily from God. You don't need me to teach you. You have the greatest teacher in the universe, the Spirit of God. You have the greatest book in the universe, the Word of God. So when you teach, submit, surrender to the Word of God and the Spirit of God, so you become a student first, a learner first. And then you might have something to say. When somebody says, what does the Bible say about the conscience? I don't know. Well, if you read the Bible, you would. Yes, if you read the Bible, you know what the Bible says about the conscience. Just as an example. Turn with me back to Ezekiel. I wanted to look at those first four verses. But I want to go back because chapter 4 bounces off of chapter 2. I'm sorry, chapter 3. Yeah, chapter 3. There's some more information we can get as we end chapter 2. Ezekiel chapter number 2. Ezekiel is an amazing book. Chapter 1, Ezekiel has what we might say one of the most incredible spiritual experiences with the glory of God recorded in the Bible. And Ezekiel chapter 1, which I'm not going to talk about, is all about these wheels and all about this chariot and this throne and all of the symbolic language that will make you get a headache. It really reminds me of the book of Revelation when it talks about the beings that are near the throne, and the four beasts with the four heads, and they don't turn in any direction, but they go this way and that way, and they got wheels within wheels, so they look like gyroscopes. And of course they don't turn because they got things going in north, south, east, west. What does all that mean? Yeah. It's really all about the throne of God coming to earth. The throne of God coming to earth, yeah. And the glory of God revealed to a man by the name of Ezekiel. And God came to Ezekiel and said, watch this. Check this out. Whoa. Whoa. And like John the Apostle, like Isaiah, like Jonah, I am undone. And he was. Now God basically says, now, did I get your attention? I got a job for you. Yes, sir. I'll sign up immediately. What do you want me to do? I'm glad you asked. Chapter 2, verse 6. And thou son of man, be not afraid of them. He's talking about the nation of Israel, who he's going to send them to. Neither be afraid of their words, though briars and thorns be with thee, and thou dost dwell among scorpions. Be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. And thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they hear or whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious. But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat that I give thee. And when I looked, behold, an hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll of a book was therein. And he spread it before me like a scroll, and it was written within and without, and there was written therein lamentations and mourning and woe. What did the words contain that God gave Ezekiel? Well, we have an indication here that part of that message was lamentation, mourning, and woe. Turn with me to Psalm, if you would, chapter 19, a very familiar passage, Psalm 19. Some of us know it by singing it. If we've been in a teen class or youth department or Sunday school for any length of time, we know what this is about. Psalm 19, verse 10. The law of the Lord, the testimony of the Lord, the statutes of the Lord, the commandment of the Lord, the fear of the Lord, and the judgments of the Lord, verse 10. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Turn with me to Psalm 119. Not very far away. Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 97 says, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Psalm 119, 103. 103 says, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Let me give you 3 points and I'm done. What should our response be? What should our response be when God tells us, suggests to us this? God's word first should be our delight. God's word should be our delight. Jeremiah 15:16 says, thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Number one, God's word should be our delight. Number two, Job 23, God's word should be our diet. God's word should be our diet. Job 23:12. Neither have I gone back from the commandments of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. And third, God's word should be our devotion. Joshua 1:8. God's word should be our devotion. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Let me summarize. Whenever we eat God's word, we experience a sweetness, for God's words always contain hope. Yes, God's judgment will come upon the rebellious, but in the midst of wrath, he remembers mercy. And so his judgment also holds promise for those who repent and return. Only when God's word has become a part of Ezekiel's very being would he be able to share it with others. In a similar way, when God's word becomes a part of us, we are then equipped and enabled to share the message. The actual words and thoughts of God are revealed in the scriptures. Don't just read them and repeat them. Think them, feel them, ask the Lord to clarify them. In other words, eat the word before you feed others. Eat the word before you feed others. After I have eaten, Lord, and on your word have fed, help me share with others from your precious living bread. Let's bow our head. Brother John, will you pray and lead the invitation?
Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Realizing that your word brings life, and you want that word to bring an abundant life for the believer. But Father, we need to read it, meditate upon it, digest it, think about it, apply it to our lives to make a difference. Help us not to be lazy, neglectful, ignore your word, but to love it and desire it each and every day. And that it would change our life, that it would change our walk, it would change our motives for doing things. So Father, this morning we thank you for your word. But we can only do that if we have come to the cross, we have given you our sin, and realized that we are forgiven, adopted, part of your family. So, Father, I ask that you would guide and direct this morning, that you would motivate us to be more in your word, love it more, especially in the times that we live in, when it gets tougher in our situations, we should be more in your word than ever. And for those that do not know you, that have not come to the cross, this is the moment where they need to read the gospel, that Jesus died on the cross for our sins and offers it to us as a gift. So, Father, again, thank you for your goodness. Guide and direct this afternoon. Presbytery brings back tonight. And let us give you all the praise and all the glory. For thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right, let's take our hymnals. 345, Blessed Assurance. As you can tell, Pastor kind of just scooted out, but that's okay. 345.